Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is our prophetess apostle, LaTosha Forbes, coming to you today, doing a broadcast, a short 30-minute broadcast on the peace of God. Again, it is the peace of God. So I'm going to share some scriptures with you today in reference to having peace and having peace within. Christians and people in general know what it is to have peace. You don't have to be a Christian to know to want peace. You can be someone secular who desires peace, peace in the home, peace in marriage, peace in the mind, peace with your children, you know, peace. And so, you know, God has been dealing with some things with me, and I've been going through some challenges, and I have been going through some challenges and things today. Today he wanted me to talk. My plan was to talk about something else. But God said, no, I want you to talk about peace, having peace, peace with him. Rather you are, again, a Christian, or someone who has been struggling with it and you came across my station or you decided to listen, this is for you. And, you know, we believe God together that whatever's going on in your life that's causing disturbance, that he will bring you peace. Amen. Well, scripture God told me, led me to talk on, speak from, or come from, is 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now, again, this is Paul. This is Paul speaking to the church. Just lost my reference point. Just that quick. Just 1 second. This is the Apostle Paul, and he is speaking about to the Thessalonian church, and he had already spoke with them. He's talking about certain things at the beginning of the chapter, from chapter 1 up until the benediction. It says benedictions, which is Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And as he completed his message to them, whatever you want to call it, he says to them, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. And there's some things going on with the church, with this particular church, and you can read upon this on your own time. But anyway, so he was letting them know. But this thing, last night, I was watching particular church programming, and he was ministering to me. But when I read this, when God gave me this and I read it, it was a piece about me. Because it says, Paul says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. He's the Lord of peace. Christ, he's the Prince of Peace. Christ is the Prince of Peace. He says, may the Prince of Peace, may Christ himself give you peace, or give us peace, you know, put in, bring it up to date, always, in every way. That's what really got when he says, in every way, whatever, in every way. Peace in your home, peace in your job, peace in every way. Peace in your body. You may have some disturbance in your physical body, ailments and sickness and disease. We know we speak peace because most times sickness brings trauma and you're aching, you're pain, you can't sleep at night. You know, you don't have no peace with this thing. So I'm saying in every way. And then he goes on to say, the Lord be with you all. May Christ be with us all. Because Christ says, God the Father says, I'll be with you to the ending of time. He tells his children that those who have given their lives to Christ, he says that, you know, he'd be with us even to the end of this world. And I know he's told it to the, I said in the Old Testament, I believe in the Old Testament, he really said, But I, you know, but God is with us. He's with all of us. And what's better for you, for us, for those who have given their life to Christ, because we know we have eternal, we live eternally with Christ if we give our life to Christ. It's not good enough for God to be with you and trying to get you to the place where he needs you to be, give your life to his son, and yet you don't do it. You know, you may have some experiences with him on earth, but it's better for you to give your life to Christ and have everlasting life with Christ when you leave this world. Amen? But anyway, going to another scripture that after I read that, God led me to, what is it? It's in the Old Testament. It is Isaiah 32:17. Now, Isaiah talk about, if you look at the, I have a New King James Version study Bible, but the caption from verse 16 to 20, it says, the peace of God reign. R-E-I-G-N, the peace of God reign. But here on verse 17, the scriptures I want you to go to, Isaiah 32:17, it reads, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. So if you're doing the right thing, if you're living for God, if you, I'm not talking, but you know, people can have peace in a sense. I'm going to say this. In a secular world, you can't have peace. If you're doing the right thing, you're living peaceably, you can have peace. But that's peace of the world. But, you know, it's nothing like having peace with Christ, in Christ. Bible said, what profit a man who gains the whole world and loses his soul? You can be a nice person, peaceable, do all the right things, morally, politically correct, outstanding citizen, and people like you, you're well liked on your job and your home, and you celebrate it. Cool, I mean, that's good, but not good enough, because the simple fact is that you get all this love and admiration from the world, but you're not giving it to God, and God don't have it for you, because you have not given you have not submitted to Christ, you have not given your life to Christ. You have to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior and asking God to come into your heart, Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be Lord of your heart and ask him to forgive you of your sins. You say, well, I haven't done anything. But yes, you have. When you are not living for Christ, you are separated from the Father, Father God, the creator of you, me, and everyone else, the whole world, you know, the earth, the land, the cows, the animals. God, the Father, created everybody. And if you're not have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're absent from God. You are a sinner by right. You are a sinner. The things that you believe in, maybe morally right or morally maybe conscientious to the world, but to God, it's dung. It's nothing to God. Paul says, our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. We're nothing. We think we're so righteous and we think we got it all together. But when it compares to Christ, when it compares to God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, his filthy rags is nothing. You know, you're psyching yourself up. And you're psyching yourself up. And you have to have Christ. In order for you to be in heaven, you have to choose Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's no other way in doing it. You can be spiritual, but if it's not Christ, it's not helping you at all. Just being spiritual is not helping you at all. You must give your life to Christ. How peaceful can you get when you're choosing Christ? Christ is the most peaceful man there is. He's the best friend. Why not serve Christ? You know, he can open your eyes and give you a better understanding of who he is and who you ought to be, and bring clarity to certain things and add on to what you already know, take away some things that you think you know, what you think is right, and he can make you a better person. He may be a better person. He may someone a better person because we allow Christ to come into our lives. He's just an extension of God, the Father, And when you see him, you see the Father. When you see the Father, you see Christ, because the two are one. And then, you know, we have, I don't want to give a full lesson, and then you have the Holy Spirit. But, you know, research, those who don't know, research on it. Find your church, find your local church, ask questions to Bible believers. You know, start seeking out God, and God will start responding and giving you directions and directives, you know, to Christ and how to be a believer, how to be born again. Amen. Okay. Again, to those who, back to Isaiah 32:17, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. So be righteous. You got, you righteous, righteousness is peace. If you're doing the things of God, it is peace. And the effect of righteousness, the effect of doing good, the effect of living by the word of God, serving God, allowing God to use you, it brings about quietness in your spirit and assurance forever. That means you, your life is in God's hands. Assurance that you're in right standing with God. Assurance that, you know, if you're doing the things of God, you can't go wrong. You know, as long as you're on the earth and you're doing the things of God, you cannot go wrong. But the study of this word assurance is, the Hebrew word translated assurance and secure are related to the Hebrew word translated complacent. And it goes to says in verse 9. Let's see, verse 9. Now, this is study Bible. It's not me saying this. But it says, go to verse 9 in Isaiah 32:9. Consequences of complacency. Rise up, you women who are at ease. Hear my voice, you complacent daughters. Give ear to my speech. In a year and some days you will be troubled, you complacent woman, for the vintage will fall. The gathering will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent ones. Strip yourselves, make yourself bare, and gird sackcloth on your waist. Now, complacency, you know, we are, you know, you're not doing anything. You're not trying to do anything. You like where you are. God's trying to move you to another level. God's trying to use you. You're not crying out. You're not praying for your family. You're not praying for the city. You're not interceding for nobody. You're not doing it. You're just complacent. You know, long as you're comfortable and everything's going well with you, you don't want to be bothered with nobody else. And Isaiah is telling, you know, get up. You know, this is a consequence of your actions, because you're sitting here ain't doing nothing. You're not listening to what the prophet's been telling you. You're not listening to what God has been telling you. You have not been listening to what God has been telling through the prophet. You have been complacent. God called you wicked because you're sitting there idle and you're not worried about nobody but yourself. As long as you're happy and you're doing your own thing, then you're all right. So that's not righteousness. If you're complacent, you're not doing anything, you're not obeying the move of the Holy Spirit, then you're complacent. And that's not righteousness, and that's not peace. You may have peace because you're comfortable, but God said that's not peace. He says the work of righteousness will be peace. Bible says you take the foolish things to confound the wise. But you know, you may say, well, shoot, I mean, why? I'm comfortable. I'm at peace. That don't make no sense to me. Why would you tell me to do something? If I'm at peace, I mean, I'm at peace. You said that it's a good thing for me to be at peace. It's a good thing that I'm not, you know, complaining. But God said, no, but when I'm telling you to do something, obedience is better than sacrifice. And say the work of righteousness, being busy about the Father's business, that is true peace. Amen. Let me move on because I don't have 15 minutes. Then God told me to James 2:18. It says, now, again, as I told you before, I have the New King James Version, Nelson Bible. It's a study Bible. And the caption of this particular text is James 3, verse 13 2, verse 18. Now, this caption is heavenly versus demonic wisdom. There's demonic wisdom and there's heavenly wisdom, godly wisdom and satanic wisdom. Either you're the mind of Christ or you're the mind of the devil. But I'm reading from James 3 and 18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So when you make peace, not peace by yourself, not peace alone, but so when you make peace, you have somebody in your household, you do something, you're making peace. That's fruit of righteousness. If you're making peace in your job, you're making peace when you're supposed to. When God says make peace, and I know there's a time and season for everything. But this, when you, God say, okay, I want you to make peace in your marriage. I want you to make peace in your mind. I want you to set time to meditate on good things. You're making peace in your mind. When you say, I want you to make peace with your children. I want you to make peace at the school with your children. I want you to step up and do something. So when you do those things, you are bearing fruit. You're making, you, now this is the fruit of righteousness. Not trying to get along, secular world, and sometimes make peace with them. You know, sometimes God said, I'll make peace with your enemy. Let God do it. Now, if God tell you to do something, fine. So, you know, but God said, I'll give you peace with your enemy. So your thing is to make peace when it concerns the things of God. This is pleasing to God for us to make peace. I'm going to go up a little bit. Let me look at it. About same scripture, same chapter, James 3, over the 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom, meekness, humble. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. You know, don't say it's God. You know, don't try to, you know, what you're doing is good and what God is doing is bad. The old saying is what's good is bad and what's bad is good. And that's what the secular world is doing today. You know, what they say is good is holy. It is righteous. It's a moral thing. And what Christians say and do is demonic. It's hate. It's what they call hate bashing, whatever you want to call it, whatever they call it right now. Verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. The world has, it don't come from heaven, it comes from the earth. Satan is in the second realm. Satan, he's a prince. He's a prince of the atmosphere. He's a deceiver. He'll have you to believe that things are right. He'll take what belongs to God and try to make it morally correct and make it seem like, you know, it's good. And call to your feelings and say, you know what, you're right about what you're doing. You see these things right here, and he'll try to make you a dialogue, and you put a dialogue within yourself and trying to rationalize what is what Christians or what you feel in your spirit at the time in your heart that it was wrong. Now you're trying to rationalize it and make it right. And he said this is sensual and demonic. You're trying to go with your feelings, what feels right to you, what feels natural to you, because now you're dealing with the central part of you, and it's not God. And sometimes, you know, things that seem right, you know, don't make it right. God said there's a way that seems right unto man, but the way of it is death. It seems good to us, but guess what? You're going to die in your sins. You know, homosexual may seem right. Transgender may seem right. Adultery may seem right. Fornication may seem right. Having kids out of wedlock may seem right. Selling drugs for whatever reason may seem right. Stealing may seem right. Having lasciviousness, pedophilia may seem right. But God, you want to make it, and Satan will make it sound so good and so pleasing, so appetizing. Your flesh and your central mind will say, you know what, it is right. But God says, I gave you over to a reprobated mind. In Romans, he says, I give you over to a reprobated mind. I believe Romans 1 and 25. He says, I turn you over to a reprobated mind. God says, I lift my hands off of you. I let you believe what you want to believe. That is not the fact that you believe it, that it was your choice, but God says, I hand you over to a reprobated mind because the fact is that I've been telling you that this is wrong, and yet you're still trying to make it right. You're still trying to please others. You're still trying to please your flesh. You're still trying to please yourself. He's still trying to go with the flow of the world system. And God said, I'm going to remove myself from you. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield to Christ, yield to God, even though you don't like it at first, but you're learning, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, this is verse 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So, when you get in God, first of all, we are made in the image of Christ, the image of God, rather. The image of Christ, they all, you know. And that means our spirit man, we're a spirit being. Our spirit man knows. And when you touch me back and forth, your spirit man saying, no, don't do this, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And the world may say it's right, your friend may say it's right, your mama may say it's right, your coworker may say it right, your husband, your boyfriend may say it right, your girlfriend may say it right, but your spirit man knows. And you wrestling against that, your mind and your flesh, your skin that you're in, is telling you, know what, this, go ahead and do it. You got people supporting you, go ahead and do it. You may say, well, you know, I've gone through so much. I want to hurt myself. I want to inflict pain on someone else. Go ahead and I deserve this type of satisfaction. But you still don't have no peace because you're going about it the wrong way, and you're not doing the right thing. You're not being fair, and you're not being fair to God, fair to yourself, fair to those who you're trying to hurt, inflict pain on. You're not being fair to your children. Because the fact is, you're not being peaceable. You're not trying to make things in a way to manage. You know what? I'm going to do it the right thing no matter what. I'm going to do the right thing no matter what. I'm going to fight against this thing. I'm not going to let this thing take control of my life. I'm going to give me some peace. I'm going to find me some peace. You know, I may have some applause. I may have some accolades. I may have people, you know, giving me kudos and thank you cards and supporting what I'm doing, I want to do, but internally in my heart, I know that this is wrong. I've been wrestling with this all night. I don't have no peace with this, even though I have backup. I know I have support, but I don't have no peace about it. And then that's God speaking to you, and that's you to step aside and remove yourself from people. The Bible says bad company corrupts good manners. I think it's in Proverbs, I believe. You know, corrupt communication creates bad manners. People you deal with create bad manners, and God, according to God's standards. And even though they may mean well, they may not kill nobody, they may have not killed nobody, they may have not stolen, they may be upright, outstanding citizens. But in your heart, you know that you have to do things the way you feel within your spirit, within your heart. And your heart is telling you, you know what, well, I need to make this particular decision about my life, because if I don't, I'm still not going to have any peace. Amen? I'm still not going to have any peace. And so you can go on to other scriptures like Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. That's Galatians 5:22. Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord will give you strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Okay, I give you strength to his people, those who belong to him, those who accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, those who are born again. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Romans 8:6 says, to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Look it up. Look at what carnal means. Look that word up if you don't know what carnal means. To be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. To be godly minded, to be God conscious, to have Christ as your Lord and Savior is life and peace. God is the rule. He is the golden rule. He is the rule. He's he trumped whatever you feel. He trumped Buddha. He trumped Muhammad. He trumped Allah. He trumped any god, any deity that's in his land. God is Lord over everyone. He is king over everyone. He set the president. He is numero uno. There is no other god besides him. He's Alpha and Omega. He's going to determine everything. He's going to determine the outcome of this world. He's already determined the outcome of this world. No matter what you do, no matter how much fun you may think you may have before you leave this world, at the end of the day, at the end of your life, God is going to make the final, he's the judge, he's going to make the final decision. We have to set ourselves up for God to live for Christ, to live, to show ourselves approved. We need to get in the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God and get the Word in our heart. And we need to be witnesses to people. We need to bring peace, to bring understanding to people what real peace means. You know, peace is not cars, homes, and all the other stuff. And we know the Bible says money answered all things. That's in the Old Testament. Money answered all things. We need money to buy everything we need. We know this. But it's not peace, because if you don't have peace in your mind, peace in your heart, it won't benefit you at all. But if you have peace in your heart, peace in your mind, it'll benefit you. It depends on what side you're on, the devil or you're on God's side. And you can have peace, peace, home, mind, finances, and everything else. But if you're not living for God, your soul is gone. The Bible says, don't be afraid of a man who can destroy the body or someone can kill you. But Jesus said, be afraid of God who can destroy the body and the soul. Not only kill you, but also destroy your soul. You can live your life in eternal damnation in hell with Satan forever and ever and ever. God gives people, we belong to God. You know, people say, you know, why I had to do all this? God says he created us for his pleasure. We're his. He can do what he wants us. But, you know, we have free will, but there's a catch-22 to it. We have free will, but it's a catch-22. If we don't choose him, and the thing is that God knows us better than we know ourselves. We are a creation of God. If we only knew who we are in Christ Jesus, we would not be doing things that we're doing today. We would readily give our life to Christ and serve him because, you know, our eyes are opening. Our understanding is open. We have wisdom because we know that we are nothing without Christ. We're nothing without God. He created us. It's all about you getting in tune with the Father, and then thereby he will show you who you are in him. And everything else you've been doing will become a distant memory. Amen. This is Prophet Latasha, your apostle, signing off. And again, this was a teaching on the peace of God. I would try to add more scriptures to this and to this teaching. And I pray that it be a blessing. I pray that it is a blessing to you, that it was a blessing to you. And pray for me as I pray for you. Amen.